end-to-end blur, 94 feet.
How fun was this weekend to watch?
Oh, just endless. Just endless. Like, I'm on a group chat with some of my closest childhood friends, like going back to when I was literally 2 years old. And family friends and, you know, my age, and we grew up together as Sox fans and going to Sox games together and a lot of games with a lot of bad White Sox teams. And we've sort of rekindled this White Sox group chat, and like that you run out of superlatives. You run out of, you know, holy bleeps and all this stuff. And, you know, people sort of make fun of me because I'm data guy. Like, I'm the one, you know, giving exit velocities and launch angles and some of this stuff and just, you know, trying to. But people are going crazy. Like, otherwise normally adjusted adults are enjoying this like little kids again.
It was fun this weekend to watch the White Sox play that way. It was fun to watch Yu Darvish yesterday because his slider yesterday was making people flail, and it was a party. It was a little bit of a party Friday and Saturday for White Sox fans that were trying to figure out, is my team any good or are they just bum slayers? Because that's what they have been doing. They have been beating Pittsburgh and Detroit. Well, now you go up against a team that's actually decent. How do you do? And they did really well over the weekend. So I'm excited to get into it and talk about this unprecedented run that we're seeing from Jose Abreu. Like,
right.
He's terrifying at the plate right now. And the best part to me, and Stoney and Jason had brought it up, Darvish, after giving up the home run, just being like, what are we supposed to do? Like, this guy's locked in. There's really no options about what to do with this dude. It was a fun weekend overall.
Well, just you, every next guy on the White Sox you want to watch. You don't want to miss the next guy because it's always somebody when they go to break and they say coming up, like, well, you know, whatever my routine is, whatever I'm flipping, whatever I have where, I don't want to miss that. I want to make sure that I see Eloy Jimenez. I want to make sure that I see Luis Robert. Right now, you've got to see Abreu. There's just every, you know, Moncada has some exciting at-bats where when he's in command of the strike zone. And think about the shows we'd be doing today if the Cubs had lost.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to worry about with this team because you start looking at what they do against lefties, what they do with the bases loaded. One of their best players is hurt. The other two guys that you lean on are not having good seasons, yet they still have a three-game lead. Like, that's the most important thing. And the great thing for them is they get Detroit for the next three games. So whatever it is that's been bothering you, you have an opportunity to feel better about things over the next three nights because you get to deal with the Tigers.
Yeah, but this pitcher's not bad. Casey Mize he's
got
good.
Some stuff. He's got some stuff, but overall, I think that this is a matchup that they should feel pretty comfortable with. Dan, I appreciate it. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Indeed.
You are listening to WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren's son, played down at Mississippi State. And I keep seeing people call Kevin Warren a hypocrite because his son plays in the SEC and he has been a part of the power structure that decided the Big Ten won't play ball this fall. I think there's a whole lot of stuff to get upset at the Big Ten about, to question Kevin Warren about over the last couple of weeks with the decision, with the rollout, the timing, the lack of information, all those things. Kevin Warren, his son is 21 years old playing in the SEC. The commissioner, Greg Sankey of the Southeastern Conference, has more control over whether or not Kevin Warren's son plays football this season than Kevin Warren does. So if you want to call it ironic, sure. The word optics that folks love to use, yes, it looks odd. Wow. Isn't that weird? Isn't that ironic that Kevin Warren's son is playing when the Big Ten isn't playing? But aside from fatherly advice, nothing Kevin Warren can really do to stop his son from playing football. So it doesn't make him a hypocrite because he was part of the Big Ten decision to postpone while his son is playing down south.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. That was Big Ann Heron talking about everything college football. I don't think we're going to spend any time today talking about college football because there's a lot of baseball to discuss on both sides of town. A little bit of basketball, maybe throw in some football. Yeah, we're definitely going to throw in some football. And the reason that we're going to throw into football is that there was a significant thing that happened inside the NFL yesterday that affected the Bears greatly. And we're going to spend some time going through exactly what happened. If you're watching us on Twitch, hello. Hi. We appreciate you being a part of the show. You can check us out when you get an itch. That's when you do the Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. You can watch what's going on there. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I think this is a really good day if you're a White Sox fan. I think that you feel pretty good about where things stand with your team, considering going into the team, there were questions about whether or not you were the team that just beat up on bad teams. Now, there is value in that, and the value that I take from the White Sox being bum slayers up to the point of facing the Cubs is the value is that you have to beat the bad teams. Like it shouldn't necessarily be a knock. And with this young White Sox group, you're trying to figure out when are they going to take that next step where you feel confident and comfortable going into series against Kansas City and Detroit and Pittsburgh, like they're going to start playing tomorrow night. Those wins matter in a season like this. But going up against the White Sox, going up against the Cubs, the White Sox had an opportunity to take a step up in class, take on the first-place team in the National League Central. And if you're a Cubs fan today, your team is still in first place in the National League Central by 3 games. As they get ready to start a series with the Detroit Tigers, an opportunity for them to get well a little bit and pick back up some wins. There are some issues with that Cubs team, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but you look at the numbers of what Abreu did this past week. It's pretty crazy. White Sox overall now 17-12. They win the series against the Cubs with wins on Friday and Saturday. And honestly, in either one of those games, there weren't a lot of nervous moments. You kind of knew. This White Sox team is an incredible bad ball hitting team. They are a mistake hitting team. And if you leave one up, what have we talked about with Lester all season? What he's done well. John Lester has done a great job of keeping the ball down and not getting hurt because he's a guy that throws 90-91. If you get the ball up and you're throwing 90-91, you make a mistake all the way through this lineup, even down to Danny Medwick, as ESPN called him. All the way down to Mendick, they have guys that can hurt you by taking you out of the yard. And the middle of that lineup is terrifying in that regard. Guys like Moncada, Aloy, Abreu, Robert, in the middle of that lineup, if you hang a pitch, they're going to hit it hard and far. I think the best sound of the weekend was the Grandal home run, because it was one of those where you don't turn around. You don't need to. No one needs to turn around because that ball is way gone. It was a satisfying win for the White Sox. And you might be thinking, well, they're just doing it with Thunder. Yes, they're right there with the Padres as far as home runs hit this season. And if you extrapolated it out over 162-game season, it would be something like 315 home runs for them. But they're also getting great pitching. Dylan Cease was really good yesterday. I'll take that performance all the time from Cease, who is sometimes very frustrating to watch. But check this out. Starting pitchers for the White Sox. Their ERA is 2.77 in the last 24 games. The first time around the rotation, those first five games, starting pitchers had a 12.64 ERA. The better number during this streak, this winning 7 out of 8 streak that the White Sox have been on, the bullpen's ERA is 1.05. You had them come into the game yesterday and not give up a run. Matt Foster has been really good all season long. Ross Detweiler has been really good all season long. So they've gotten pitching and hitting. And the texts are already coming in. You can't hit home runs in October. Yes, you can. And sure, you're not going to necessarily go up against fourth and fifth starters in October. But there are plenty of games won where you had good hitting beating good pitching. And I'll just go back to this for historical standpoint. The 2005 White Sox, the guys that won the championship, you know what they did? They hit well, and they had great starting pitching. They led the league in home runs in 2005. If your hope is that eventually the White Sox will be a team that manufactures runs, I don't think that that is in the cards for them in the 2020 season. I think this is a team that mashes. And it's going to be frustrating, and there's going to be games where you're looking for a fly ball and you can't get a fly ball, or you're looking for someone to hit to the right side and no one hits to the right side. But even in this series, you saw Jose Abreu on a hit and run perfectly place the ball on the right side. But in the era of the juiced up ball, yeah, this team is going to homer, and they're going to be frustrating. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. They're going to hit home runs. That's going to continue. Even in a series where we knew what the game plan was, you know how good Kyle Hendricks is. Even Kyle Hendricks, when making a mistake, got taken deep. It's a matter of the guys in the White Sox lineup continuing to punish teams for that. You want to pitch them low and away? That's the best idea. And I'll give you a guy who did it well in this series. Jeremy Jeffress was amazing in those 30 pitches that he threw, because there was never a point where he put himself in danger with high pitches or pitches that missed. If he was going to miss, he was going to miss in the dirt. That's where he was going to miss. And once the bases got a little jammed up, that becomes dangerous. But if you're trying to hold on to a one-run lead, as long as you don't get it up in the strike zone, the White Sox will struggle, but not everyone has that level of control and command. And even guys with great control and command, and so far, John Lester and Kyle Hendricks this season have shown you that. Even they will miss on a pitch. And when you miss, these guys make you pay. That's what the 2020 White Sox are all about. They're a lineup of guys who will take you out the yard. And you have to be so careful on how you're going to go about pitching them. And it's going to drive White Sox fans crazy throughout the season. Like, we know this. This is a thing. I thought that some of the at-bats from Moncada this weekend were not great. Same thing with Aloy. There are still at-bats where you're like, could you be more patient? Because if you are, then they will come to you, and that's when you can get paid. And I do wonder if Moncada is like Bryant, where if he's not a hundo, if he's not 100%, is it better for him to not play? I haven't come to a conclusion on that, but it's something that I've been thinking about. So if you want to get into the tech zone with some of your thoughts about this past weekend series, whether Cubs or Sox, 312-644-6767 is the number. The White Sox are off today, and then they start a quick series with the Pirates, which is great for them. The Cubs get back to work tonight. They take on the Tigers. We will have pregame starting at 5:10 on the Score. When we come back, we're going to talk about the North Side Nine. Our buddy Evan Altman is going to be on the show. They've got some issues that they've got to work through. And the question is, are they going to be able to hold on in the National League Central to get through some of these issues? We'll discuss that with Evan next here on the Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Steve Stone.
This diversion that we all realize has been our summer friend for years and years was bringing everybody back for just this bit of microcosm of time. It just brought out everybody's passion for exactly what the game is supposed to be. Back your team, argue with your friends. I just thought it was great.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. I haven't been technically young for a while now, but I still think I'm young, so I still get caught off guard when the sports universe reminds me that I am in fact old. The latest example is Phil Mickelson making his senior tour debut today in Missouri. I'm not even a huge golf and or lefty fan, but this just seems wrong. Well, but I can now handle the kids of some of my favorite athletes being pros themselves these days. But I wasn't ready for a relative contemporary moving up an age bracket in his sport. Now, this is not a permanent move for Mickelson, obviously. He just reached the age minimum of 50, and he just has some extra free time after failing to advance at the FedEx Cup playoffs. But even a quick pit stop on the Champions Tour is a lot to deal with for this old man. I'm Andrew Bogish.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. New innovations are happening all the time with recycled products. One company has created a new sustainable packaging technology which allows liquids to be packaged in paper products and are completely free of plastics. This first-of-its-kind paper-based bottle is made from sustainably sourced wood pulp and can be completely recycled with other paper. Look for these bottles early next year. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon. Cubs Radio play-by-play legend Pat Hughes.
Win or lose, there is always attention. There is always a great media presence. And there are always fans. There's just, it's never easy, but it's never boring. Not one bit. I tell people also, you have to learn to operate independently from the hysteria that is Cubs baseball. I think a lot of fans out there, Dan, when the Cubs win two or three in a row, it's, we're going all the way. Yep. And those same fans, when the team loses three or four in a row, well, wait till next year. And you just can't live that way if you are part of what we are, which is broadcasting and covering the team pitch by pitch, day by day, season by season.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.